This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Exclusive interviews and nonstop Team 1050 coverage. Now, it's the Michael K. Show podcast.
The head coach of the Jets, Rex Ryan, joins us now. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing fine, thanks.
You've had a day to think about this game. What's the thing that jumps out at you after watching tape and things like that, Rex?
Just, disappointed the way we started the game. I mean, clearly it was, I expected that we would just come out and playing our tails off, but you got to give Jacksonville, all the credit. They came out and they intercepted the first pass of the game and then converted it for a touchdown with, five straight running plays. We pride ourselves in being able to stop the run, and they stuck it to us. And really, the first half, they were in control of that whole tempo. And then I was proud of the way our guys responded. I thought in the second half we stepped it up. On defense, I think had like 5 3-and-outs in a row on them. And, that was great to see that our guys, they obviously aren't going to quit, but they, the task was tough, but they were hanging in there. And, we had opportunities right at the end. We take a lead, and then with 5 minutes left, we let them drive the length of the field and eat up the entire clock. And obviously that's disappointing. That's, 4 games this year that the last play of the game, we've lost on the last play of the game.
Let's start at the beginning, Coach, and your players. This isn't you talking, but your players at the end of the game yesterday, a lot of them were quoted saying we came out flat. And I just wonder, as an outsider looking in, I mean, you have 16 games to play. How could you ever be flat, and how could they be overconfident? I mean, did you marvel at those words as well, we came out flat?
Well, I know one thing. Jacksonville came out, I don't know if we were flat, but I'll say this. It was, clearly that, they were more effective than we were. We had missed tackles. They were, they had some big runs against us. And so if that's, we came out flat. Clearly we played a lot better in the second half, but, for whatever reason, I mean, that's, if anything, for a team to have, to be as fresh and ready as we were, we had great practices during the week, for us to not get it done, if they're saying it came out flat, I mean, that's, that's crazy.
Now, Rex, obviously you knew that when you gave the team the 6 days off, if it didn't turn out the right way, people were going to question that. So let me just ask you this way. The next time you guys have a bye week, we'll give your team 6 days off. Do you think that had anything to do with the fact that they didn't make tackles at the beginning?
Well, no, I don't think that was the reason, but every year is different. I mean, you got to look at, your situation, where the bye is and all that kind of stuff, but right. The fact that we never got it, we never got the victory, then, sure, it's easy to say, well, we should have come out this time, or, should have, given them this time off and not 6 days or whatever it was. But I really don't believe that. I mean, that wasn't the issue. I think you got to give the opponent credit. They came out and they had a good game plan. They, the kid was running hard. It's, you can't go live tackling. You do all the drill work you can and all that kind of stuff, getting ready to play against the guy. But, it's, maybe it's different when you get out there. We tried drills. This is, we specifically, we had tackling circuits. We had all kinds of stuff, but this was clear in a way our worst tackling performance of the year. We had 15 missed tackles.
Coach Rex Ryan is our guest here on the Michael K. Show. And, Coach, this isn't an easy question for me to ask, but I'll ask it anyway. I know you take a lot of pride in your defense, and coming into the game, they were ranked number 2. But at the beginning of the game, they're not making tackles. At the end of the game, they have to make a stand to stop the team from getting a field goal, and they couldn't do it. Are they – maybe they're just not that good. Maybe they're not a great defense like the one you have with the Ravens. Can you think of it that way?
Well, yeah, I think you can think of it that way. I mean, I think, statistically, it depends on how you're going to judge a team.
Right.
I mean, I'd just soon judge them on wins and losses, and that would put us as a mediocre right now. But we're much better than that as a unit. But, again, the facts are, that team had 250 yards at halftime against us. Now, for us to, a lot of times, you know, teams will just give in to the, those circumstances. They'll end up with 500 or 600 yards offense. But to our guys' credit, they went five, you know, three and outs in the second half. And I think that, that's a, you know, that speaks volumes about them. But at the end of the day, you got to find a way to get it done. And we had our opportunities to get off the field, and yet Jacksonville converted. And, you know, the biggest thing to me is the, you know, we had, you know, mentally at the end of the game, you got to be your sharpest. And we had two mental mistakes that absolutely killed us.
And what were those mistakes, Coach?
Well, I'm not going to get into the specifics of them, but...
Was one of them on the Mercedes Lewis catch?
That would have been one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then one other one was on, you know, a third and ten. But I'm not going to talk about the specifics of the individuals or, you know, whatever. But clearly that was, those are two mistakes that you just can't have.
Another mistake that has cropped up a lot, Rex, and I know that it rankles you quite a bit, is the 12 men on the field. I mean, that's got to just, I mean, it kills you. You lose timeouts, you field position. What's going on? Who's to blame with that?
Well, it's unacceptable, and that's, you know, that's it. You know, we have a system where you signal in the defense, and you're either on those teams or you're not. And it's pretty simple. If you're not on a sub team, then get off the field. If you're on the sub team, get on the field. So, you know, or, you know, that's just, for instance, could be big stuff, could be all kind of things. But you've got to be looking for the signal, and you've got to make sure you know. There can't be any question who's on and who's off. And you're exactly right. We've had a couple of those cases where we've had to burn timeouts, and that's, those are foolish, you know, foolish penalties.
Now, Kerry Rhodes was on earlier, Coach, and he said that what teams are doing is they're waiting a really long time before they get their package in, and then you guys have to wait a really long time to get your package in. Is there any way to counteract that if they're waiting as long as they are?
No, in the way the game's played now, you can't let your opponent get an advantage, you know, with the personnel. So you do have to wait. You have to play that waiting game with them. When they substitute, we've got to be able to substitute. It's kind of like chess. You know, they have the white pieces. We have the black pieces on defense. So they move first. You're reacting to what they do. You know, you can take the other thing where you just put a group out there and, yeah, they'll know the call and they'll know all this kind of stuff, but you're not giving your guys the best chance to be successful. So everything you do defensively is based on the personnel that you're going against.
When you guys were 3-0, we all went crazy. We thought it was great. Now you guys have lost 5 out of 6 and people are jumping off the bandwagon. Is your team the 3-0 team or the 5 out of 6, or is it somewhere in the middle, Rex?
No, I think we're the 5-6 team right now, because that's, you know, or whatever we are,
four and five.
You know, 4-5.
Mm-hmm.
That's the type of team we are now, because you are what your record says you are. But again, you know, like I understand that, you know, I feel the, you know, the fans and all that, but you just, you know, the fans need to understand that there's nobody more competitive than the coach on this football team, the coaches on this team, and the players on this team. And we're going to try to do whatever we can to get this thing fixed. And you know, like I said, you know, I know our task is hard. There's no question about it. But it's not impossible. And
you mean making the playoffs?
Everything.
Uh-huh.
You know, and the task this week, you know, playing New England, at New England, that's going to be tough. But all we can do is prepare to the best of our ability and find a way to get it done. And that's what's missing right now. You know, it's one or two plays. It's, you know, a penalty here or there. It's, you know, it's a mental mistake at a critical time. And those are things that we have to, you know, find a way to fix. And obviously that's my responsibility as the head coach. I got to find a way to get it done. And that's what we're going to do. But I can guarantee you this, nobody is more competitive and driven to succeed than I'm going to be. And, you know, and I think that's the way our organization feels from top to bottom.
Coach, you mentioned in your post-game press conference, excuse me, learning how to finish. Is that a psychological thing or a physical thing?
Unfortunately, I think it's a psychological thing, and right now we got to go in the wrong direction. You know, when you lose basically four games, the last play of the game, we've got to understand that, you know, there's got to be confidence. There's got to be, you know, just got to do it by the numbers. And that's it. You got an assignment, you know, it's an alignment, assignment, and technique, and you got to get it done in those critical situations. And, you know, And not swallow the olive, so to speak. So that's kind of what we've done. And, you know, but I believe in this football team, and I think we're going to get it fixed.
Coach, I've heard from so many coaches and players about how tackling isn't just or isn't necessarily a physical skill, it's a mentality. When you went back and looked at the film and saw some of the bad angles on those tackles, how do you explain that, especially from veterans, Rhodes, Revis, Leonard? These are guys that, you know, we'd all imagine you'd really rely on for taking the right angles.
Well, yeah, the right angles, you know, gives you an opportunity to make a tackle, that's for sure. But it starts with, you know, with the alignment. You know, was somebody, you know, aligned, you know, not properly? You know, was it, you know, it's something like that. Like, for instance, that 33-yard touchdown run, we weren't in the proper alignment, and that killed us. It may look like a little thing. It might just be one player not in the right position, but it kills you. And that's what we got to get better at. You know, everybody doing their job by the numbers, but playing loose and fast and physical. And I think that's the magic formula, but we got to find it.
I'm going to go off the field for a second, if I could. We've had quite a bit of discussion in the last week about the fans. You have a number of times this season done voicemails asking for fan support. Thanking the fans was the first thing you did yesterday in the post-game press conference. And skeptics say, well, why is that so important? Why isn't the priority winning or what have you? Can you give us a sense of why it is that you make the fans such a priority?
Well, first off, you know, winning is the priority, but I think the fans are I look at that as such a priority because I know the difference that they make. I know that the players, how they feed off of the fans' energy as well. And, you know, I guess my vision for our football team and when you come to play the Jets, that, you know, that there's that, this mentality that when you come in here, you're not just playing against the New York Jets. You gotta play against their crazy fans. And I know it can be a huge difference. Now, I also know that it's our responsibility as a football team to give our fans reason to cheer and to get excited. But again, we haven't got it done. You know, the last three home games, we've lost on the last play of the game. And that's tough for any fan to take. But I know we got loyal fans and all that, and I just throw it out to them that their support, we need their support. We need that home field advantage. And I guess that's why, how passionate I am about it. That, you know, this is your football team too. And I know it's not going well, and people, you know, are it's probably not easy to be a Jet fan right now. But it's our job to make them proud to be a Jet fan, and that's what, you know, that our task is right now.
Jim Leonard had surgery. What's his outlook for the year?
I'm not real sure. He just had surgery later this afternoon. So they weren't specific. You know, I guess when they go in to do the surgery, they'll know if he needs pins or a plate or whatever it is. So they were not sure. They don't want to put a timetable on it right now. So once they do the surgery, he gets out, I'm sure they'll have a better feel for it.
Did you catch a break yesterday with New England losing that game?
Absolutely. A huge break. And again, this sounds crazy, but if we would have won yesterday and New England would have won, we would have been in the exact same scenario.
Right.
So that was like the biggest gift that we could have got. And in fact, I never realized it until, you know, late this morning that they had won. I just assumed that New England had won that game.
And so you didn't see how it played out?
I did not.
No.
And, you know, now I heard about it, you know, and And that's, I'm certainly not going to question Bill Belichick. He's got a heck of a lot more wins than I do.
Coach, I have one other quick question. I'm sure at this point you've heard about Mark Sanchez and his prepared statement during the post-game presser. And just sort of, we're kind of confused about if somebody suggested that to him, if that's something he did independently. Do you have any thoughts on how he went about handling that? Have you had any conversation about that with him?
No, I haven't. Again, I never saw, Mark's press conference. But I can say this. I know that he's not ever going to, be disrespectful. I know his meaning would not be to be disrespectful by any stretch of the imagination. I know that it obviously was, it was tough for me to get up there and face the music. And I'm sure it was, a 23-year-old young man. But I know that he's not, he wasn't trying to be disrespectful.
All right, one final thing, Coach. It's been a tough run. You go into New England on Sunday. New England's coming off a disheartening loss. So my question to you is this. What do you sell to your team that we could beat these guys?
Well, we've already done it.
Mm-hmm.
We've already beat them. So we know that that we can do this, that we're capable of winning a game. But again, we also know that they're clearly one of the best football teams in the National Football League. So, we know it's going to be tough, and it's going to take everything we have. If we do the best job we can of preparing, of practicing, and everything else, that does not guarantee us victory. But if we give anything less than that, then it almost guarantees defeat. So we're going to give everything we have in this, and we'll see how it turns out. And hopefully we find a way to win this game, and then we're one game back with six games left. So we'll see. We'll take that.
Coach, are you at all worried that your team might have a little bit of a hangdog attitude, tail between the legs? And if you do sense that, how do you stop it?
That's not happening. I don't believe that for a minute. That would happen.
Mm-hmm.
We have too many competitive people, in our locker room, and starting with myself, I know that would never happen with me. That's not going to happen on this football team. That is just absolutely not going to happen.
Coach, we thank you for coming on. We'll talk to you on Monday. Good luck on Sunday.
Thank you.
All right, that's Rex Ryan, brought to you by Wise, the official potato chip and cheese doodle of the New York Jets. Snack loud, snack proud. Eat Wise. Well, you've heard the coach. Let's talk about it. 1-800-919-ESPN.
Ready to take with you anywhere. It's the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, the Jets lose to the Jaguars 24-22 yesterday at the Meadowlands, and in the Jets player spotlight today, nice enough to come on, is Kerry Rhodes. Kerry, how you doing?
What's up, Mike? How you doing, man?
I'm all right. What's this team feeling right now? Are you guys just shocked that this has happened?
No doubt about it. Yeah, we're shocked. And you have to look at ourselves in the mirror, and at this point, there's nothing to be said. We just got to come out and try to keep fighting. We were actually throwing the bone yesterday by New England slipping up. So, number-wise, we're still in it. So we still got something to play for. So, we just got to go on from there.
Now, let me throw this at you, Kerry. This is a team that has talked a lot. And at the beginning, it's backed it up. But now you've lost 5 of 6 games.
Yeah.
I mean, do you guys almost say, hey, we can't talk anymore. We got to show something on the field.
Well, we got to go out and just put our heads down and work right now. I mean, we're behind the eight ball, really, now. We just have to come out and try to establish our identity again. I mean, those first three games were who we were and who we thought we were and who we know we can be. So we just got to get back to that some way, and hopefully it's not too late right now.
Got to ask you this. A lot of guys after the game said that the team came out flat.
Yeah.
And, Kerry, I don't understand how a team that plays 16 games could come out flat for any of them, especially when you've lost 4 or 5 games. How can people come out flat?
I don't know if it's – I don't know how – I really don't know. I don't think there's a science behind it. I think we came into the game confident and I guess too confident maybe. And we came out and didn't play with the emotion that we should have. I mean, we came out in the second half and we showed that and we dominated the second half until the last drive. So it's just one of those things where I don't know if there's a science behind it.
See, that's what I don't get, though, Kerr, is that, okay, you guys came out confident, overconfident. Well, how? Well, I mean, where is the confidence coming from? You guys haven't played well.
Well, I mean, we believe, like I said, we believe in the product that we bring to the into every Sunday. We had a good game plan. We thought everybody was ready to play, so we came into the game. Like I said, I mean, confident, and it didn't pan out the way for us.
Now, what did you guys do in the second half? Because you seem like a different defense in the second half.
Yeah, we just came out and played. I don't. If it was something I could say to tell you, I would. I don't know. We just came out in the second half, and I think we were embarrassed. And when anybody gets embarrassed, they're going to come out and fight. That's what we did in the second half. I think that pretty much sums it up.
So take me inside that locker room at halftime. Did Rex just tear into you guys, or was it more, this is what we have to do to straighten this out?
Yep, it was the opposite approach. He came in, like you said, came in and was like, okay, we know that wasn't how we play, and just come out and do what we do in the second half and be the defense that we are. And we came out and we responded that way. So, yeah, he didn't come in with the fire and brimstone thing. He came in with the opposite approach, and it worked.
Now, he came in after the game into the media room and said, you know, we're running out of time here. You know, we've used up our chances. Do you guys... I know you mentioned the Patriots losing yesterday. You guys legitimately think you have a chance still to make the playoffs?
No doubt. We still do. We still believe we can. And like I said, especially with the, I guess, the bone, you want to call it, the good New England losing and keeping us in the hunt. Yeah, we think we can. We got to handle business. We got to win. We got to win first. So, I mean, that's where it all starts. I mean, if we win our games and keep winning from here on out, we think we'll be okay. And we can't start looking at other scenarios and stuff now. We just got to come out and get a win.
All right. Kerry Rhodes is our guest on the Jets Player Spotlight on the Michael Kay Show. What happened on the Mercedes Lewis 33-yard pass?
There was a miscommunication. Everybody didn't see eye to eye on the last play. It was just one of those plays where there was a miscommunication.
So Jim Leonard was trying to change the defense and nobody was able to do it? Because it was too loud?
Something like that. Something like that, Mike.
Is it tough, though, Kerry, that you're the guy that's in the picture that you know, and there's nobody there behind you like they're supposed to be?
Yeah, it's tough. It is. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you can't, you're not going to point fingers at each other. And then, like I said, it was a display that we couldn't get the coverage communicated all the way across. And, you know, it was. It happened at an opportune time, but it happened.
Now, I know you. We've had you on the show.
Yeah.
You sound beaten down right now. Tell me what you're feeling. I've never heard you like this.
Yeah. It's like I said, we never thought we'd be in a situation like this where we're 4-5 and barely hanging on to relevance, or if there is any relevance still there. I mean, so. You just got to come out, and this is where you see how. This is how you find out who a man and who really cares about the game. Because right now, it's getting to the point where these games are. If we lose here again and lose a couple more games here, we're going to be playing meaningless games. We don't want that in this league. So you got to come out and try to strap it up and keep going. But yeah, right now I'm not feeling good. I mean, and I hope anybody else that's doing an interview right now or talking to anybody else is feeling the same way I am.
Kerry, let me throw this at you. Everybody says how great the Jets defense is, and that's what this team is built upon. Let me throw this out. Maybe the defense isn't that good?
Oh, no. The defense, yeah, I mean, like I said, coming to the game, we're the second-ranked defense in the league. So, I mean, I think we're doing okay.
But then, I understand that. Then you guys come out like you did in the first half, and then when you had a chance to just end the game,
right.
The Jaguars drive the length of the field to I don't get that, though.
Yeah. That last drive was... I don't know. It was they made. I mean, you got to give Jacksonville some credit as well. I mean, it's not just about us, but I mean, you have to give them some credit. They made plays and they did switch some things up at the end. There went quick on us a couple of times that we weren't expecting. So I mean, they did some things as well.
All right, now give Jet fans something to hang on to. How can you guys beat the Patriots after a game like this next week?
Like I said, we still know that we have something to play for, and we've beat them before, and we think that we have a good formula against them coming to this game. So, I mean, we're going to fight. It seems this year so far we play when it's teams that we think that we're the underdog or whatever, we come into the game with a little bit more I guess, a little bit more want to passion. And I know that sounds bad, but when you have it's pretty evident. When we played teams that we were underdog, we came out and played well. So hopefully we can take that and run with it as well.
Kerry, it's happened a couple of times, more than a couple of times during the season, of 12 men on the field defensively, and you were forced to call a timeout in the third quarter because of that.
Yeah.
But why does that seem to continue to reoccur through the season?
Well, with the teams are holding their personnel on us to the last minute. So when we look on the sideline and we see a group that's in already, we have that group on the field. But the way teams are trying to slow us down with all the different looks that we give teams, they try to hold their formation, hold their package to the last second. And if we don't see it right, we may have the wrong group out. Then we try to run somebody else on to the last second. So it's been a little bit of that. Teams are trying to slow us down from making adjustments on the field.
This is a team that insists, whether you win or you lose, that you have a good defense. How do you define, what's your justification at this point in the season for saying your team has a good defense?
What's our justification? Like I said, you can just look at the numbers and see we're a good defense. But, I mean, there are situations where this year we haven't played what we wanted to on defense, and that happens. I mean, the old Bears defense back in the day, I mean, you can look back at them and see they had breakdowns as well. So, I mean, you can't go off one or two plays. You got to go off a whole body of work, and I think our body of work has been good.
I guess my only other question, Kerry, after that miscommunication with Leonard, how does that experience change all of your checks and what you do before the ball snapped, having gone through that?
I don't think it changed anything. You just have to make sure that you don't get too locked in. And it's one of those things where I think everybody got locked in, and after we made the initial call or whatever, everybody got locked in, and after that it was a wrap. So nobody else can really get anything else out of it after that fact. So I think you just have to make sure that you're always in tune with the other guy and the other guys and go from there.
One final thing, Kerry. 6 days off with the bye week. You guys were allowed to just go away. Was that a good move or a bad move in retrospect?
I think it was good. We came back and refocused and ready to play. I mean, and we didn't start off that way last in the game, but I think it was good for us. We need to get away. And at the time, we were in a downward spiral anyway, so I think it was good that we got away for a little while.
Hang in there, Kerry. Thank you for coming on.
I appreciate it, Mike. Thanks.
You got it. That's Kerry Rhodes, 1050's New York Jets Player Spotlight, is brought to you by Metro PCS. Metro PCS gives you more value than ever with unlimited talk and text for only $30 a month. Metro PCS Unlimited yourself. Let me throw something at you guys. Bonnie asked a question. I kind of asked the question about the defense. Maybe it's just not that good of a defense. And he throws, well, we're ranked second. And to me, that's almost like the guy who has a good ERA, great ERA, has a 2.50 ERA. But when his team is down 2-1, he always gives up the two-run home run. So at the end, he's given up three runs, so he's always going to have a pretty good ERA.
Right.
But doesn't mean that he's a great pitcher because he's given up the runs at the wrong time. So sometimes you could shape numbers the way you want. I'm looking at a defense. You got to stop the other team to win the game. 5 minutes left. They have 83 yards to go. You couldn't do it. To me, that's saying, you know what? Okay, the numbers tell me they're a good defense, but maybe they're not that great.
Yeah, some of these numbers are based on yardage. I've always felt that it should be based on points, and when those points are scored. You know what? Great defenses don't allow a lot of points. Great defenses don't allow long drives. Great defenses don't allow points in the fourth quarter. Great defenses don't allow points when they can ill afford to allow them. And this defense has. So statistics will say they're great on this and great in that, third down. All the different statistics, you can kind of skew them the way you want, but 4-5 is still 4-5. And touchdowns that lost games for you in Miami against Jacksonville, teams that you're superior than, or at least perceived to be better than, shouldn't have that happen. I don't care what the ranking is.
I'll give you two examples of how misleading statistics can be. You can have a pass defense that is ranked among the worst in the league, and if you just look at the numbers, the yardage allowed per game, you could raise your eyebrows. But what happens if that is on a team that is so prolific scoring on offense that the team they're playing always has to play catch-up? So they abandon their running game and all they're doing is throwing. So that's going to skew the statistics. I remember when the Rams went to the Super Bowl in 99, everybody talked about their vaunted run defense. Their run defense wasn't any good. It's just the teams were throwing against them. They weren't running the ball. So that's how it can be skewed. Don, you're exactly right. It's all about not allowing the long drives, and not putting points on the board. Look at Denver. Denver allowed, until they went on this three-game losing skid, they never let anybody score in the second half. And now they've dropped three straight, and they fell to Washington yesterday, who's one of the least prolific offenses in the league. So, I mean, I guess you sort of have to run through the course of an entire season to be able to assess who they really are. You can't look at 3-0 out the gate and anoint them as one of the best.
And you can't look at second-ranked defense and say, well, they're the second-best defense. Not necessarily. Don't get seduced by the numbers.
You're in the middle of the Michael K. Show podcast.
Time for the Eli Manning Report, powered by New York Community Bank and the NYCB family of banks, celebrating 150 years of service to the community. Panasonic Ideas for Life and New Jersey Lottery's new Giants Fantasy Football Scratch-Off game went up to $100,000 and give your dreams a chance. And Eli Manning, who did not play on Sunday, joins us now. Eli, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Michael. How are you?
I'm fine. Did you watch that game last night?
I did. I got home, watched a lot of football yesterday, but definitely watched it and watched till the very end. It was an exciting one.
Do you, I mean, this is a weird question to ask, but do you sometimes marvel at how great your brother is?
He is, he's the best, and I've seen him have some great comebacks before, but last night he was awesome, and he just does everything it takes to put his team in a situation to win games, and but the whole team rallied. They got turnovers on defense when New England was going in to score, and obviously they got some key stops at the end of the game, but when he's put in a situation where he's got a chance, he usually makes it happen.
Now, honestly, Eli, you're sitting there watching, probably on your couch, and they walk up to the line at 4th-and-2. Do you think they're really going for it, or you think that they're just trying to draw them offside?
Well, I knew they were out of timeouts, and so I was thinking, I wouldn't think they would take a penalty and give themselves, 5 yards less distance on the punt. So, I had a feeling they were going for it. I guess they just thought, they really hadn't stopped the Colts the last couple of series. I knew they were kind of, I heard they were short on, some of their defensive front. So I think they must have been gassed a little bit and just, didn't think they could stop them. They didn't want to give Peyton and the Colts 2 minutes, to go, 70 yards, 65 yards. They figured, hey, we got a chance to win this thing right now with our offense, who they have great confidence in. And, it's one of the things, I think he thought that was the right decision to win the game right there, and obviously it didn't work.
How do you and your brother play it? I mean, do you call him up after that game and say that was cool, bro, or didn't you talk to him last night?
I didn't talk to him. It was late, and we had practice this morning, but I did stay up and watch it, and I sent him a text after the game, just figuring he'd get it, and I'm sure I'll talk to him, and I haven't talked to him today yet, but I'm sure I'll talk to him there today or tomorrow.
All right, what did you do during your bye week?
I went back to Ole Miss and went to Oxford, Mississippi, and watched their game on Saturday. They beat Tennessee, and I was there. Went there Wednesday night and just kind of relaxed and hung out and just rested up and got to go see a little college football.
Are you a total god in Oxford?
it was hard for me to hang around the Grove. I'll say the Grove is kind of where they tailgate and after the game, I wanted to go in there a little bit. I have a lot of friends and people I wanted to see, and the camera phone was probably the worst invention for any type of athlete or someone who people might want to take a picture of. So there was a lot of camera phones going on, so I said, I think I've had enough of this. I lasted about probably 20, 25 minutes and went back home and watched, other college football. But it was good. I enjoyed going back there and seeing some of my old friends and coaches who are now there I can't hang out at all the same spots I used to.
All right, now let's talk about, you didn't play yesterday, but it's about as good a Sunday as the Giants have had in a long time. Eagles lost, Cowboys lost, the Falcons lost, Michael Turner's hurt. You don't want Brian Westbrook to get hurt again, but he has a second concussion. Everything kind of fell into place for the New York Giants yesterday. Agree or disagree?
No, I agree in a sense, but yeah, I mean, we needed Philly and Dallas to lose is to keep us in the mix and so they don't build a big lead. And again, I said last week. It's, there's still a lot of football to be played. When you got seven games left, a lot of things can happen. And I think we're still, we just got to handle our business. We can't, we can't get all worked up on what other teams are doing and what's happening to other players. We got to handle, the Giants, and we got to make sure, we're going out there and we start playing better football. And we start winning games, and everything else will work itself out.
All right, let's talk about that, because obviously I know you go away and you have an off week, but you're probably studying and looking at things. So, I mean, how do the Giants snap out of what's been, bothering them the last 5 weeks? I mean, what do you do?
Well, I mean, I thought we were close last week, and we kind of got back to playing our style of football. Obviously, we didn't win the game, but we controlled the clock. We were pretty good on third down. We did some good things, and I think we just gotta just kind of keep that mindset and just keep working. Have a great weeks of practice, and just see if we can get back to just being consistent and. I think we did a good job of that. We can just get back to playing well. There's not a secret ingredient. It's just going out there and playing hard and making the plays when they come up.
Now, we had Brandon Jacobs on Friday when we were out in Las Vegas. He was there for the weigh-in, and he said that this game with the Falcons is a game that this team must have. You have to win this game. Do you look at it that way?
Well, I don't know if it's a must win. It's a big game, and we want to get back to that winning feel and just kind of get that the attitude in the locker room, just kind of get some excitement going around. And I think considering kind of what we've been through, I think the guys have responded well. We're practicing hard. We're upbeat, and things are kind of going as well as they could under the circumstances. Yet there's not a better feeling than going in. On a Monday after a win, and watching that film after a win, and getting a workout, and just kind of seeing, seeing some smiles a little bit easier and those type of things. So I think it's just a matter of, we got to get that winning feeling back, guys want to get that and see if we can kind of get hot again.
Did you make any changes with plays or philosophy during the course of the bye?
Well, we look at those things, and we look at our tendencies and see. Where is there room for improvement on certain areas? What can we do maybe a little differently to mix some things up? Or what happens is you practice these plays all the time. Hey, third down, we're gonna practice this play, and it comes to the game, you don't run it, but since you practice them, you think you're running these plays so many times, and then you go back and look at it, and you run that play three times, and you're like, well, we practice it three times every week. I just just assume you ran it a bunch when you really haven't, and so it's just a matter of kind of looking back at everything and just seeing what you can do better and how teams are playing certain things but really you definitely look at what you can improve on. We looked at the green the red zone pretty hard and see where we can make some improvements there, but again it's just gonna come down to looking at Atlanta. Worrying about this game right now, see if we can have a great game plan and go out there and play well.
The final thing, Eli, are you guys dreading? You play Sunday, and then you have to play Thanksgiving in Denver?
Yeah, it's going to be a quick turnaround. I think, I think some of the coaches, that's kind of what they did during that bye week, is try to get a little bit of a game plan on Denver, just because we know it. I mean, that's going to be, we're going to play Sunday. We're going to have to come in, go in Monday and practice on Monday and Tuesday, to leave Wednesday to go out to Denver and play. So it's going to be a short week. But sometimes that's not a bad thing. You can just, you come in the next day, you try to, get some work done while also healing the body, and just try to put in a game plan that everybody should know. And I figure if we take care of business on Sunday, guys would be happy to go in there Monday after after a win and start getting ready to play on Thanksgiving night.
You'll still have time for us next Monday, right?
Yeah, I think we'll find some time. We'll figure it out.
Thanks, Eli. Have a good one on Sunday.
Hey, thanks a lot.
This has been the Michael K. Show podcast. Exclusive interviews and nonstop Team 1050 coverage. Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.